I'd like to pray before we get into God's word, and we're trusting God to really move in our midst here today. Lord, where would we be without you? You loved us first. Father, you sent your Son to die for us that we might have eternal life. And Lord, we just thank you that we're part of your kingdom. We are your children. And Lord, we are here today to worship you and to glorify you. And Lord, as we humble ourselves before you, we ask that, Lord, you would reveal yourself to every one of us today. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. And Lord, I ask for that. I pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you, because to know you, Lord, is not something we can comprehend and work out in the flesh. It's got to be by you, Holy Spirit. So Lord, as we look to you, will you reveal yourself to every individual here today, from the elderly to the middle-aged, to the young, to the children, every single one of us. Lord, will you come in and reveal yourself? Will you show us the wonder of who you are here today? In Jesus' name, amen. As I was preparing for this week, and I always trust God to get fresh bread from him and to bring that to you, not to try and work things out in my own mind, I really worked hard, and I actually prepared two sermons, and I just didn't have the peace. And eventually I said, Lord, I don't know what you want him to do. And I just really just sensed today God wants to minister to us, and he wants us to minister to him. So that might seem very strange, because we've been at home and we've been online, and we just connect and we engage for a short bit. But if the coffee's calling, we run out and we go make a cup of coffee. If we need to run to the loo, we run to the loo, and we don't always engage. And I just really just sense I'm going to do a little bit of preaching just to set you up. But then we're going to engage. We're going to engage with God. And the Lord wants to meet with us. You know, do you believe God can get lonely? I do. Because he created us for fellowship. He created Adam and Eve, and he came down and he fellowshiped with them down in the garden. And God craves your fellowship. He craves your worship. And I really believe that's his heart here today. He wants to meet with us. He's not running away from us. He's not sitting on his throne and saying, come up to me and I'm all stare. No, come to me. He's a loving heavenly God, heavenly Father, and he wants to meet with us today. So the theme of the message today, who touched me? This is the words of Jesus. He says the words, who touched me? And I'd like you to get your Bibles and let's turn to Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to read from verse 43 to 48. And this is the context of the woman with the issue of blood was hemorrhaging, and a story of how the Lord met her and she met him. And it comes in the context also in all the Gospels, or two or three of the Gospels, in Mark and Matthew 2. But in Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 48. Okay, and I read. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Can you imagine that? 12 years. But no one could heal her. The other version said she had spent all her money, been to all the doctors, and couldn't be healed. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. And then Jesus said, who touched me? And when they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. And I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could no longer go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had been touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now, this is an incredible outworking of the ministry of Christ. And we see this is the context of it. Jesus had gone to go and deliver the man in Gadara, and they had returned and were coming back through Galilee, and they were going to the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, whose daughter, his only daughter, was very sick. And they were on the way. Jesus was on the way, and he was walking, and this woman was there, and she had been saying in her heart, if I could only touch Jesus, I would be healed. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us her name. It doesn't give us any indication. The only indication that we have where Jesus addresses her and he says, daughter. And I believe that is something incredible. It's when you address someone as daughter, there's something of a father relationship in that. You're not a slave. You're not a misfit. He addresses her as daughter, as very precious when he addresses her. But I want to just go quickly through this process of what's actually happened with this woman. She was desperate. She had nowhere to go. She had used all her own abilities. She had used all her money. She'd gone to all the worldly wisdom. But she said in her heart, if I can touch his cloak, not even his person, if I can touch his cloak, I would be healed. Now, I don't know whoever taught her faith. I don't think anyone taught her faith, but she was desperate in her heart. She realized, if I could touch this Jesus, I'm sure the stories were there and heard how Jesus was healing the sick, but she knew he was healing the sick, but she says, if I can touch him. And I think she continued to tell herself that not that she was mesmerized or she was positive thinking, she got to a place and said, if I can touch him, I will be healed. And you know, God moves with faith. You know what? I believe it's not only the touching of his cloak that healed her. It was her faith that actually healed her. She said in her heart, if I touch Jesus, I will be healed. It wasn't touching a man. It wasn't touching a doctor. It wasn't the touching of money. It wasn't a superstitious thing. It was touching Jesus. She would be healed. And there was faith that was exercised by her. But amazingly, when she touched, there was something that we see in Jesus' life that we don't always recognize. Jesus said, power flowed out of me. You see, Jesus has all power. He's been given all authority. It resides in him. God has placed it upon him. And the Bible tells us he is the God of power and wisdom. And when faith is exercised, power is released. It's not something that we can conjure up. We can't go like to the electrical plug and make that electricity. This is the power of God that brings life. And Jesus said that power went out. He felt it. He felt it. Even though he was in the masses of the people walking along that road, he felt this power go out of her. And I want to just say that power today is available to us here today too. Jesus has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He has not changed. He's still a God with power, and he's all powerful. This woman drew by faith that power that was in Jesus through the person of Jesus. She personally got involved with him, and it released that power to her. Now that's a transaction. When you go to the shop and you go to the supermarket and you buy the goods and you pay for the goods, whether it's through cash or through your credit card, there's a transaction, there's a transfer of ownership. It's the same thing that happens with faith. When you believe God and you say that he's going to heal you, there's a transaction. And when you reach out and you make that transaction take place, it happens. This is what the scripture tells us, and we must believe that. You see, this woman had got to the end of her tether. She had nowhere to turn to, but she got bold in this, and she said, I will touch Jesus, and I will be healed. Now, today, it's very different. Jesus died on a cross, was buried on a cross, was risen from the dead, and ascended to heaven. But he came back through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is here today by the Holy Spirit. Can you see the Holy Spirit? No, we can't. But is he here? He is. And is Jesus here? He is. But how are we going to touch him? We've got to touch him by faith. It's not something conjured of the prosperity gospel or anything like that. It's actually reaching out to Jesus, the living God. He's here today to meet with us. And I really believe as Jesus is here in the Spirit and we reach out to him in the Spirit. You see, your flesh can't touch Jesus. This body that we've got, we can't touch Jesus with that. But within your spirit, God has given you faith in him to exercise. Now, that's an important thing. You've got to exercise it. We've all been given faith. The Bible says we've all been given the good measure of faith. But we have to exercise it. And how do we do that? We exercise it by believing in the Lord. And we exercise it by bringing our requests before him. And when we believe, the Bible teaches us that we must receive. What does that mean? We must believe it's done. We must believe it's done. And that's what I really believe. God wants us today to come to this place of touching Him. And I want to just say to you, and I want to encourage you here today, every one of you are a spiritual being. As much as the world will tell you not, you are made, the Bible tells us that you're a tripartite person, your spirit, soul, and body. But the real person of who you are that's recreated, that is born again, that's created in the image of God, is your spirit being. That's why the Bible says you are born again. You're a new creation, a new person. And within that new person of who you are, you have faith. Faith is there, but you've got to believe it. And that's it. That's the muscle of your spirit, as you believe. Because your mind gets involved with that. Your soul, your mind, your soulish mind is there. You can believe, and then you can touch. Now, some of you were thinking, well, Mark, what are you talking about? I believe God wants to meet with us today, and I'm trying to prepare you to touch Jesus. How this woman touched Jesus in her need. And I don't know what your needs are here, but I want to tell you one of the greatest needs that you have first is not for your needs to be met. Your greatest need is to worship God. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Why was Israel delivered out of Egypt? The first instruction given to Pharaoh, let my people go that they might worship me. And that's a spiritual action. In John chapter 4, it tells us that we must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we're going to do that. We're first going to worship the Lord, and we're going to bring praise to Him. We're going to glorify Him, and we're going to put on our priestly garments, and we're going to worship Him. And out of that, I'm trusting wherever you find yourself, whatever you want to trust God for, you might be desperate here today. You might not be desperate here today. But wherever you are, God wants to meet with you. Some of you will need encouragement. Some of you will need physical needs met. Some of you need financial breakthrough in your lives. You see, God is not limited by an economy. He still wants to meet with us, and He wants to reveal His greatness to us. And I believe that as we open up our hearts and begin to worship Him and allow His presence to come, and then we exercise our faith through worship, something is going to transpire in your life. And I'm believing today for every one of you, as you've come here today, maybe you've come just to hear a sermon. I don't want you only to hear a sermon. I want you to meet the living God. You follow Him. You love Him. But when did you experience Him last? When last did you hear His voice and know His touch? Jesus wants to touch you. I believe that with all my heart. Jesus wants to touch you this morning. God Almighty, who loves you, as Norman encouraged us, who loves you, He wants to touch you. So we're going to take a time now, and I'm asking Donovan and the team to come up, and we're going to take a time to wait upon God. We don't always have to worship in song, but we're going to lift our voices, and this is where you're going to participate in this time. It's not just listening to what others are doing. You need to participate, and you need to lift up your voice, and you need to declare the high praises of God. You need to worship Him for who He is. You need to connect with Him. And out of that, in our collectiveness, I believe we will experience God's presence in a wonderful way here today. Do you want to meet with Jesus today? I can't hear. Yes. Hallelujah. I trust that's every one of your desires, that we actually come to meet with the Lord. So whether you want to stand or whether you want to sit, but I do ask that you close your eyes, because that you can focus, because there are many distractions that can be around you. You can be things around you, but I want you to be focused upon Jesus, and let's worship Him. And as the worship team just plays softly in the background, we're going to take time and allow ourselves to meet with our living Lord. Thanks, worship team. Thank you. Lord Jesus, as we have stilled our hearts. We come into your presence with awe and reverence. We acknowledge you as our Lord. We acknowledge you as our Savior. We want to say thank you for the price that you paid for our salvation. We want to say thank you to you for forgiving our sin. We want to say thank you for washing and cleansing us of the guilt and the shame and the unrighteousness that sin produced in our lives. And then, Lord, we want to put on our garments of praise. We want to lift our heads and open our eyes, and we want to gaze upon you. We want to open our mouths and declare your high praises. Lord, as David came before you and blessed you with his worship, Lord, we come this morning as your people to worship you, to lift up your name. Yes, you were a man on earth and clothed in the power of God, but you rose up to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you're our God, and we worship you and to tell you that you're worthy of praise. The universe cannot contain you. No one can fathom your wisdom and your understanding. As the scripture tells us that you are Almighty God. You are the all-powerful one. Who is there like you, Lord Jesus? And as your people this morning, we bow before you and declare your praises and bring glory to your name today. I'd ask you to join me to open your mouth and to express your love for your Lord, declare your praises for him. I'm asking you not to be shy, to be inhibited, but to glorify his name here this morning. As we stand as his people before him, let's lift up his name and let's glorify his name. And if you want to do that on your knees, if you want to stand up, whatever, wherever you find comfortable, where you want to honor him and glorify him, let's glorify our Lord here this morning and worship him for who he is. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 93, the Lord is King, he is robed in majesty. Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Your throne, O Lord, has stood from time immemorial. You yourself are from the everlasting past. The floods have risen up, O Lord, the floods have roared like thunder. The floods have lifted their pounding waves. But mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore. The Lord above is mightier than these. Your royal laws cannot be changed. You reign, O Lord. You are holy forever and ever. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, from Revelations, the angels are declaring your holiness and singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The 24 elders take off their crowns and get on their knees and lay down their crowns before you and bring you your adoration and bring you your praise. And Lord, we do that today. We bring you your praise and your adoration. You are the Lamb of God that paid the eternal price. You gave your life and gave your blood for us. And we worship you here today, Lord. And we worship you, Almighty God.
I just believe as we're in this attitude of prayer. This morning we were praying before the service, and Ivan was just mentioning about in Matthew 14 about the boat, and that there were certain chains that needed to be broken. And I just feel God has got it so heavy on his heart now that he wants to do it. And Ivan, you know, if you just feel led at what is in your heart, because I so witness with it. And it was just about the story of Peter coming out of the boat. And before that, Jesus met Peter in his familiar ground. He met Peter before that in the boat. And he came to where Peter was familiar. He was a fisherman, and his father was a fisherman, and he knew about fishing. And he met him there in that familiar place. But then in Matthew 14, Jesus comes out, and he calls Peter out of that place of familiarity, what he was used to. And he called him out, and only when he went into places that he had never been before could he experience what he had never experienced before, and could he see what he had never seen before. And there comes a time when we are so familiar with our surroundings and we're so comfortable with where we are. There's a time, and I believe it's now, when Jesus says, you need to come to me. You need to step out of those places that are comfortable to you and familiar to you. And as Ivan said, there's chains that need to be broken. We are so comfortable and familiar. And I even believe now in our prayer time, where we go to with Jesus is familiar. And Jesus wants to push us beyond that. He wants us to do things in our heart. It might not be standing up. It might be shouting. It might not be raising your hand, but it may be. But it's in your heart and in your mind and in your attitudes that he wants you to push into grounds that are unfamiliar to you, where you are not comfortable anymore, where you are meeting Jesus in his terms, where you are touching his garment, where he is pushing through the crowds. And I just want to pray today, Father, can we go into those grounds that we've never been before, in our hearts, in our prayer life, where we are. We go to our where we're familiar and where we're comfortable, but Lord, may we push those boundaries. May we give ourselves to you. May we commit ourselves to you. May we lay aside ourselves and move into those areas that are unfamiliar to us and even uncomfortable to us, but you know that they're safe for us. Give us that faith that Mark was talking about. Let us get out of the boat and let us meet you in those areas that we've never been before, in our hearts and in our minds, because we will see things that we've never seen before, and we will experience things that we've never experienced before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I just want to just add to what Craig was, what he mentioned just right now. We can't stay where we are and move with God in this season. And when we were praying it as an eldership this morning, the Lord just reminded me just so strong, where Peter and the disciples, they walked with Jesus. And there were many times they were with Jesus all the time, and they walked with him. But something changed for Peter when Peter was on the boat, and Jesus came walking towards him on the water. And Peter said, "Father, command me to come to you. Jesus, command me to come to you." And Jesus spoke to him and told him to come. And he got out of the boat and began to walk in the water. And in the same way, we've walked with Jesus in our own special way. But I feel that we need to change that this morning. Like Peter got out of the boat and he started to walk in the water. Jesus wants that for us this morning, that we need to get out of the boat. And what is that boat? That's our comfortable place. That's a place where we are secure and we are supported and we are so familiar with our natural surroundings. But Jesus is asking us today, my son and my daughter, let's get out of the boat and let's walk towards Jesus. And when we walk towards Jesus, he will hold us. He won't let you sink. He won't let you go, but he'll hold you so that you can come to a place of fulfillment, of promise in your life like never before. And there's just something else I just feel I need to share with you. There are some people here that you need comfort, and the Father wants to comfort you today. You're in a difficult place, but Jesus wants to comfort you this morning. And when he talks about his righteous right hand, I see he's taking his hand, he's taking his arm, and he's putting it around you this morning to comfort you. And I want to read the scripture for you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you.
Amen.
So if that is for you this morning, I want you to hold on to that right now, that the Father is putting his arm around you and he'll never let you go. That place is a place of peace, and it's a place of comfort, and it's a place of security. Amen. Let's step out and let's follow Jesus. Amen. In this hour.
I'm just sensing when Jesus had risen from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples, and Peter and the disciples had gone fishing and had caught no fish all night, and Jesus was preparing breakfast for them, and he said to them, have you caught any fish? And they said, no, we haven't. And he said, cast your net on the other side. And then they cast their net on the other side, and they couldn't contain the amount of fish that they'd actually caught. And I really believe that's God is calling us to walk in the Spirit. We no longer have the pleasure and the ability to walk according to the flesh. Even though we have natural bodies and we have natural reasoning, we are to live in and by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be led, and we need to follow the Lord by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's a challenge to every one of us here today, is that you've been doing things your way, and the Lord wants to teach you his way. Now, I want to say that's one of the greatest adventures that we can ever have in our lives, is that we might have an understanding of how to live life and we've got a coping mechanism, but God wants to change that. He wants to teach us the new way, which is his way, to be led daily by God the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that is an adventure for every one of us. You know, we've just gone through 7 months of lockdown, and we've got into a routine that's boxed us. God wants us to get out of that box and come into a place of liberty and freedom. And that's not to go on holiday and to find new adventures and new cars and new clothes. It's actually to the new adventures in the Spirit, to run with him, to be led by him. And I believe God wants to meet with some folk here today and meet with you where you are. And if you've been challenged by the Lord, maybe in areas that you want to change the way you walk, you want to climb out of the boat, and you want to walk in the Spirit, and maybe you have even got issues that you're trusting God for needs to be met, whether they physical needs, whether they emotional needs, whether they financial needs. And I want to just say, I want to honor the government, and I want to honor their stipulations. But my Bible says that we need to lay hands on the sick, and we need to lay hands on people for deliverance. And if that's you today, let's keep our social distancing here at the front. But I want you, if you want to respond to Jesus, not to me or to the elders or the leaders of the church, if you want to see God do something in your life, I'm asking you to come to the front, and we would love to pray with you. Would you do that? If that's you, God is challenging you. You want to go deeper and you want to go further with Him. I'm asking you to take a step out of the boat and come and meet with Jesus here in the front. And I know this is a big thing, and you're all looking at me, Mark, what are you doing to me? You're putting me under pressure. That woman with the issue of blood knew she touched Jesus. She'll be well. If that's you, will you come to the front, and we'd love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Don't look to the left or to the right, but whoever you are, come to the front, and we'd love to pray with you.
As I was just sitting there this morning when we prayed, I had a real sense that, you know, the end times are so close. We may not even actually see death. We may be raptured. And the reality is how God has impressed on me the importance of truly being in His kingdom. You know, He talks about clean hands and a pure heart. And what Ivan said about stepping out of the boat, it might be a sense that your boat is the things you're comfortable with, the worldly things that you've got. And if I'm on the stage here, and then stepping into what God has, and sometimes we've got one foot there, and sometimes we've got one foot back in the things that we are stuck in. Might even be bondages. Might be something that's like a recurring sin that you just feel that you can't break out of. But I really sense that God wants to say, if you're serious with Him, He says, when we seek Him with all our heart, we will be found. And I really sense that part of that stepping out of the boat today is to say, you know what? Be done with the things of the world. Have your eyes fixed firmly on heaven, because we have no idea the strategies and the schemes and the masquerading that the devil does in our lives. And so many people are duped. And it's like having the curtains on your life closed, and you can't see what's really going on, because the devil wants to close us in and actually have us look at just what we can see. We're so focused on this world, on the materialism of this world, on having money, on having status, on having people respect us, on having all these things. And God says that those things are worthless. And if we're going to end up in the pit of hell, because the word speaks about people that are in the church that may end up there. And it would be terrible if we didn't actually take God seriously. And we don't know what happens on the other side, but we have heard from people's testimonies. So God wants us to be serious about Him. And He wants us all in heaven. That is why He sent servants out with evangelism to cry for the lost. So this morning, I sense that thing of stepping out of the boat is also stepping into the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God defies the world. When Peter was standing on water, gravity says you will sink. But when the kingdom of God defies the laws of this world. So when we step into the kingdom of God, He comes down and He can break chains of injustice. He can do miracles. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. And He can change our lives so that we become citizens of heaven who know where they're going and know how to get there and want others to get there too.
For those that are on YouTube and are watching this too and also want to participate in this, on the bottom of your channel there's a prayer request. Will you fill that in and we'll be able to follow up on that and we'll be able to pray with you. If I can just ask the leaders just to one-on-one to pray for each individual here, please. Just Sally, will you come and help us here, please? As they praying for individuals here, I don't believe God is finished with all of us. Quinton, can we pray for some folk over here? you know, as they're praying for everyone here, that same portion of scripture when Jesus met with his disciples and he restored Peter, and he asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" And Peter eventually got sad because he said, "Lord, you know that I love you," after the 3rd time. But the Lord encouraged him to go and feed his lambs and to take care of his sheep. And I want to just say, some of you here today, God has called you to minister his grace and to look after his sheep. And John, I just really just sense there's something on your life that you've ignored. There's something of reaching out to God's people and feeding them and taking care for them. You know, it's been hidden. I don't know what's been the past, but people have spoken to you, already encouraged you, but the course of your life has taken turns that it's actually been left behind. And I just really sense God wants to encourage you today. There's something of his hand and his grace and his call upon your life. As you just say, "Lord, here I am, use me," he will put the words in your mouth. He will give you the ability and the outworking to reach and touch many with his love and his grace. And I just sense even today there's a restoration for you today. There's a restoration of what's happened in the past. And I think at times you've looked at your life and, "Lord, I've made a mess." And the Lord says, "I take a mess and I make it good. I make it good." And the Lord says his hand's upon you. And as you would work with him and humble yourself before him, he will raise you up. And the words will be given to you. It's not through man's wisdom, not through man's understanding, and not through cleverness, but it's through his Spirit. And as you work with the Spirit of his love, you will touch many with his love. And may the Lord bless you as you hear his word to you today and encourage you to take the seriousness of the situation for you. Amen, John. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And maybe you're here today and you want to take a deeper step with the Lord. Whether you're young and whether you're elderly, maybe you've never met with Jesus. You know about him, you've been spoken about him, but you've never really made a commitment to serve him and to follow him. And if that's you here today, there's no condemnation. But if you'd like to do that, I'd like you to pray with me a prayer from your heart. As we heard this morning, we can't meet Jesus in the flesh. We've got to meet him from our hearts. And if that's you today, I'd like you to pray this prayer with me. "Lord Jesus, I humbly come before you and I realize in myself I have no strength. And the ability that I need is from you. And I willingly submit myself to you today and ask that you would carry me, that you would lead me, and that you would take me into the fullness of following you. May my life become full again with you. May the world become less and less, and may you become the fullness of my life now. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen." Amen. Thank you, Lord. Have you got a song? Stand. If you want to stand, and Don's going to lead us in a song of worship. Worship is Father God, I pray your blessing upon your people as they seek you with all your heart, all their hearts, that, Lord, they will find you and be touched by you. We know, Lord, your timing is absolutely perfect, and some have met with you in a real way today. But, Lord, as we go and live life, I pray for everyone here that during the week, during the weeks and the months ahead, Lord, that everyone would have an encounter with you. That, Lord, we cannot demand of you, but we ask that you would reveal yourself to everyone here, Father. Even those on YouTube and those that couldn't attend today. Lord, a part of this family, Lord, will you meet with your people and will you reveal yourself for who you are? And Lord, as we continue to seek you with all our hearts, I just release your blessing upon your people as they follow you now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Remember, who touched me? Jesus wants to touch you. God bless you all. Go and have a great day. Remember, Jesus loves you and we love you. Thank you, everyone.